As we inch toward Election Day, constant coverage on those vying for the White House has ramped up. Even more, oftentimes these stories tend to utilize fear-mongering and misinformation to paint a worrisome picture of the country's financial future. Today, we discuss investing in an election year, what you need to know, and how to cut through the BS. Coming up now.
And now, Retire Right Radio with Paul Roberts.
It is election year. We're really not going to get into the politics of the matter, but what happens in election years and what effect could it have on the economy? That's how we're opening up Retire Right Radio with Weston Lindemann. Weston is part of the team of all-star advisors at Roberts Wealth Management, robertswealth.com. Yeah, it's already a wild year. Well, something tells me, Weston, it could get wilder.
Absolutely. The way politics goes these days, of course, the expectation is always that, well, you never really know what's going to happen between now and Election Day. And I guess anyone's guess is really as good as another's. But one thing that's certain is with all of the 24-hour news cycle that we have these days, you know, the constant, whether it's predictions or projections on, you know, poll numbers in battleground states or something that the president says or you know, there's all sorts of things that can take place that can move markets in a short amount of time. And so what that means for investors, of course, is we should have an expectation of heightened volatility if we're exposed to those market conditions. Now, this can, of course, have some downstream effects if we're planning for retirement, if we're already in retirement, and now we have to worry about the outcome of an election in November and what sway that may have on the markets. Most people probably don't want to make their income needs, the whole plan being built around, well, I hope this election goes good. And of course, that's going to be something that people view differently, depending on their political affiliation.
Yeah, and a couple of, Forbes first, the stock market has a pretty phenomenal record of predicting presidential winners. And that's according to Forbes, which was the case in 87% of their picks dating back to 1928. And also BlackRock determined that no matter the political party in power, the stock market maintained an average return of 11.6 during election years since 1926. And, you know, I was talking with someone the other day, and they said they were actually a little shocked that so far the this election year has not really affected the markets.
Yeah, I think in our minds, at least we might expect the volatility to mean that the markets overall go down. But you can have volatile, returns in the, you know, short term to midterm. And then in the long term, you see that that number is still averaging out to be above 11% for election years. Now, we could hypothesize why that might be. Of course, if, you know, we consider the incredible power that a president has these days, there are all sorts of things that they can do to, support markets and keep optimism high. And of course, the party in power, wishing to stay in power, has quite the incentive to do everything that they can to make sure that the market and the overall view of the economy is a positive one.
Yeah, it's usually the case, as you said, the party in power, and they even have more incentive in an election year to have good results and numbers in the economy. And the party trying to gain power, of course, could create a little bit of uncertainty. I guess the main thing is if you have proper planning, it shouldn't matter so much. In other words, you shouldn't be in a panic no matter what our situation.
That's right. We have to take the long view with investing and realize that, you know, despite the personalities that are, you know, stirring the conversations of the day, there's the larger picture of the economy and the companies that comprise, you know, the S&P 500, for example. They all have their own thing going on independent of what's happening in the political world. And that's why we see a consistent trajectory of the stock market over the, you know, 100-year history. It does always tend to go up in the long run, even if there's some short-term volatility and downturns in between. Of course, when we're planning for retirement, though, we do have to make sure that no matter what's going on, we have our income needs met. And so that's why we always look at a strategy involving, a number of different approaches. We don't want to be all in the market where any sort of volatile time period could affect our needs for income. But we also don't want to be all in on the safety side where we don't take advantage of that number you just quoted there from BlackRock, 11% average return in an election year. So, you know, we should strike a balance between having that safety, having that opportunity that we're taking in the market. And in an election year like this, we see both opportunities to make money and, of course, the potential to lose. So we want to play both sides of that as safely as possible.
Yeah, and of course, that is exactly what they do and will talk to you about. Of course, everyone's different, so they'll talk to you in terms of you. If you come in and claim for yourself a comprehensive review with the team at Roberts Wealth Management, 800-891-8680, 800-891-8680. You know, we've talked about, you know, sometimes if things are good on Wall Street, maybe not necessarily that's the case on Main Street, but no matter who is in on living on Pennsylvania Avenue, it seems like it really hasn't made that much of a difference. How, and there have been, since the Great Depression, 8 Democrats and 8 Republicans in the Oval Office. It always amazes me, Weston, that from time to time, the president will say something and Wall Street will freak out. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness, here's my thoughts on that. Thank goodness we have a system of checks and balances in this country. So one person shouldn't be able to hold so much sway, no matter who they are.
You know, that is a comforting thought. It's easy to get caught up in the hype of the 24-hour news cycle and feel as if these events have more sway on outcomes, whether it's in the market or in our personal lives, than what they might actually have. It seems that, as the numbers suggest, with now 8 Democrats and 8 Republicans, a fair sample size to pull from here since the going back to the Great Depression. I mean, the evidence is pretty clear that despite what we may think, the outsized impact of the presidency on the stock market is perhaps not that real after all.
Right. And it was, so our first lesson, and we've got another segment on this, our first lesson is stocks won't stop no matter who, what, where, when, and why political mm-hmm. unrest might remain on the appearance, at least. But our lesson number two is don't let fear in the present determine your investment strategy for your future. I guess the main thing is to make sure that everything's properly allocated.
That's right. If we're doing the right things in terms of investment allocation and within those allocations, you know, we may have a few different buckets that we've that we're invested in, whether that's, you know, some growth opportunities over here with the Roth account. Maybe we're playing it more safe with the 401k or the IRA. Whatever the combination is, we also want to make sure that we're diversified within each asset class that we're investing in. So if we're, you know, in stocks, we want to make sure that we have a variety there, right? If we're in bonds, the same is true. If we're in, you know, another class like annuities, the same is also true there. So we want to make sure that we have a proper allocation. And that is the thing above all else that's going to allow us to weather all potential storms. You know, the good times, that's easy enough. You just enjoy your gains. Well, when it's the troubled waters, that's where it gets a little bit more difficult. And that's where working with a team of advisors can really make a significant difference. You know, it's easy to run into those traps of letting your emotions, fear in particular being a powerful one, dictate your investment strategy. And so when you're working with a team and you have that feedback, you have those conversations with an advisor who can help, you know, you understand and bring to the forefront that we can't let fear be a driving factor in the way we plan for our future. And that's as much of a truth in investments as it is perhaps in people's personal lives, right? We mm-hmm. want to make sure that we're open to taking risks and opportunity in the market when it makes sense. But when we know that we have the comfort of an income plan that's already been spelled out for us, that we know a certain percentage of our assets are arranged in a way where we really don't stand to lose, or perhaps we're seeing a consistent enough return that those losses in our market account aren't as big of a deal. Now, nobody likes to lose money, but when you have that sense of knowing and understanding that your plan accounts for all of these various factors, that's the kind of peace of mind we give people at Roberts Wealth. And it all begins with having a conversation around your goals. You know, what are your biggest concerns? If it is, well, the outcome of the presidential election later this year, good news, the market's probably going to return a positive number no matter the result. We just want to make sure that we're positioning ourselves so that if this is an outlier event in which the market doesn't have a great year as a result of the election, then we have a contingency plan in place, that we have our assets arranged so that our income needs in retirement at least don't take a hit as a result.
And, you know, I think there are certain things that can be affected by whoever holds office. And one thing I know everyone's looking at, and we kind everyone has a probably a pretty accurate prediction on where things are going with taxes, but these rates that we have now do sunset at the end of 2025, so there's still time to get proactive in that regard.
That's right. If you've been paying attention, we've talked about it quite a bit, the looming changes to the tax code, and of course the outcome of this election may have some say in what happens next as it relates to taxes. But at the same time, we have to take the broader view, look at history, and see that where taxes are at today, it's, you know, pretty comparatively near all-time lows. There have been lower taxes, but that was when they first invented the income tax, and it was under 10% for the highest earners. But that didn't last for very long. They quickly rose to rates as high as 50, 60, even 70% for the highest earners. Now, when the 401k came out and people started taking those tax deferrals, it made a lot of sense because people were accustomed to taxes at those really high rates. And then when they got ready to retire, they were able to enjoy a lower tax rate. Well, that just isn't the same scenario people find themselves in today. And because of that, we want to make sure that we're doing things differently. You know, the word got around, the 401k is the way to save for retirement. But that worked better for a couple of generations in the past. It's not necessarily the strategy that you want to be relying on 100% moving forward these days, especially when we consider that taxes, with now $34 trillion in national debt, with approximately $60 trillion sitting in the retirement accounts of the generation that's currently retiring, when you consider all of this, the backdrop, of course, again, being the Secure Act and the Secure Act 2.0, which made it a lot more difficult for retirees to hold more of their dollars and put them in situations where they have to give more to the IRS. With all of this going on and now a looming tax code change in 2025, stock market aside, the changes to the tax code may be the actual thing of the most consequence that we could see coming out of this election. Then again, though, it may already be set in stone, right? There may be higher taxes on the horizon, right, despite what happens in November.
Because of the debt, yeah.
That's right.
Well, come in. Let's get you ready. And what does it look like to get you ready for and to weather all the storms of the economy? An opportunity to schedule for yourself a comprehensive review at no cost, no obligation.
That's right. Whether you're worried about the stock market in the year ahead or we're concerned about the future of tax increases, there's always a way to put a plan in place to deal with these challenges. And that's what you'll get when you meet with one of our all-star advisors. You can begin that process today by giving us a call at 800-891-8680.
And it's a comprehensive review covering building that income, proactive tax strategies, looking at a longer retirement that the baby boomer generation ushered in, and certainly it'll get longer for millennials and for the Gen Z generation. So you have to factor that as well. That's what makes this review comprehensive. That's what makes the process holistic. If you go forward with Roberts Wealth Management, 800-891-8680. 800-891-8680. Election years can undoubtedly have a significant impact on the policies and practices of the future. What about your finances? We'll finish up on the other side. We're going to stay on this theme of election year and what can that mean for you in your financial life, and especially if you're near retirement, with Weston Lindemann on Retire Right Radio. Continuing, Roberts Wealth Management, this is a firm with offices in, if you're listening, not to the podcast, maybe not necessarily, but on radio, there's one near you in either Biloxi, Daphne, Alabama, Pensacola, Florida. That's Weston's home base, and in the Houston area. And Weston, if someone is listening to the podcast, they can also reach out. There are ways to meet. Mm-hmm.
That's right. No matter what, you can reach out to us. You can go to robertswealth.com and submit your questions, your comments. You can reach out to a team member and get scheduled to speak with someone today.
Well, we're looking at election year and lessons to learn. And we looked at some history and looked at Wall Street's and investments average returns through election years, which really kind of showed that they didn't make that much of a difference in that area. Weston had a couple of lessons for us in the last segment that stocks are not going to stop. No matter what happens, the show must go on. And lesson number two, don't let fear in the present determine your investment strategy for your future. Opening up this segment, lesson number three, don't take the money and run at the first sign of perceived chaos. What's the potential mistake that could happen there?
Well, it's an easy thing to do when you have your money invested in the market and you see it take a certain dive, you know, down a certain percentage, whether that's 10%, 15, 20, you get to a number where you all of a sudden become extremely uncomfortable and you decide, well, the best thing to do is to just get out, stop the bleeding, and don't lose any more money. Of course, the problem with that approach is that you're locking in your losses, and then you most certainly have lost money. Whereas, you know, of course, if we're able to ride that out and wait until the market makes a comeback, it most assuredly, every time it has gone down, you know, 20% or greater, every bear market has been followed by much better times. In fact, most bull markets come after a period of a downturn. And it's part of the market cycle. But what we want to do is understand what level of risk we're willing to take, and you know, getting closer to retirement, being in retirement, that level of risk is going to be lower, of course, or it should be in most cases. And if it's not, then why not, right? We need to have a conversation around risk tolerance. And once we understand how much risk we're willing to take, then that perceived chaos is either something that we're willing to take head on and push through and stay in the market despite it, or it's something that we're getting ahead of and we're limiting our downside before that chaos has even arisen. And so if we do that right, if we have a plan that says, okay, I'm willing to take on a certain amount of risk and here are the risks I'm not willing to take, well, then our assets are positioned accordingly. And so whenever those chaotic times come and we're following the news cycle, seeing, you know, just, oh, how bad it might be, well, you can rest easier knowing that your plan has already accounted for these types of things to occur. You know, no one's surprised when a bad news day happens and the market takes a bit of a dive as a result. You know, these things are inevitable. Something always is going to happen at some point in time.
Yeah.
And so we have to have a plan that says that we have a way to deal with that. And that's one of the strengths of what we do at Roberts Wealth. If you're looking for a firm where, you know, if you say, well, if you can just beat the rate of return of the guy I have advising me now, well, we'll do business. Well, there's a little more to it than just rate of return, right? We want to know how much risk are we taking on? What's our downside? And can we withstand that sort of a downside? Can our income plan allow for us to meet our needs in retirement and take a 30% loss at the same time in our with our market dollars? And for a lot of people, the answer there is unequivocally no. And that's okay. We just need to make sure that we have a plan that is in tune with our particular needs. And that's what you'll get when you work with us.
Yeah, and you'll get a planning process and a plan actually suited to you with the properly allocated risk. And one thing you won't get is a plan that would require you to try to time the market, because that certainly can be a fool's errand.
That's right. That's lesson number four for us. You know, as much as we like to think that we have good instincts about these things, you need a little bit more than that these days in order to make pretty accurate decisions around investments in the stock market. So if we're out there and we're trying to time, you know, when to get in, when to get out, that can be harder than you might think. And there's some evidence that supports that. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't get out of the way when certain indicators suggest that there's less upside than there is downside. You know, there's a certain amount of math involved. There's a certain amount of analytics. And we have technology that we use every day here as advisors to help determine, you know, the appropriate risk to reward ratio and whether or not we're too heavily exposed to the downside if we're invested in the market. So that's different than timing. You know, you can say, well, I'm going to move to a cash alternative, earn 4 or 5% with these treasuries that are paying a decent amount today and get out of the way of the downside, because there are indicators that suggest that the downside is greater risk at this point than the potential for additional returns. You know, if that's where you're at and that's your investment strategy, then that's different than timing the market. But going in and saying, well, I think next Thursday is probably going to be a bad time for the market, so I'll move out on Wednesday afternoon. You know, that sort of thing is how you end up missing some of the best days of the market. And when we look at the numbers there, let's see, we've actually got some for you here today. If you missed the market's 10 best days over the past 30 years, your returns would be substantially less. Missing the best 30 days would have reduced your returns by up to 83%.
What? Wow. Just 30 days.
Just 30 of the best days in a one-year time period. That's going to be a majority of the upside that's gone. So, you know, if we're hanging out on the sidelines too long, we think, well, the losses are right around the corner. And then, you know, the next month is a bull market instead of what you thought it might be. Then you just missed out on the earnings for the year, more or less.
Man.
So it's a balancing act. It's something that we want to make sure that, you know, if we're sacrificing the upside, we have to be okay with that. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that if it seems like the downside potential is too great and we certainly can't withstand that, right? Then that is the right move. But at the same time, you want to know that hanging outside of the market too long, trying to time the market, picking the best days and trying to pick the worst days and avoid them, can oftentimes, more often than not even, it could be a losing strategy.
Well, certainly, especially with that stat you just cited. Taking all of this into account, we're going to take a look at some mistakes to avoid to wrap up this segment. But first, to reach out to Robert's Wealth, 800-891-8680, 800-891-8680. So let's roll into some common mistakes and how to avoid them. The first one, worrying too much about what could go wrong.
Yeah,
you've addressed that, really.
Yeah, we've sort of addressed it already. If we're spending our time worried about all the things that, you know, is our plan going to be able to account for each and every single negative thing that could ever happen in the world? Well, yes and no. It depends on the strength of the plan, right? If you have a written plan that says, here's how we're navigating these various obstacles, whether it's a tax increase on the horizon, so we're doing our Roth conversions, or maybe it's that we cannot stomach the downside another time, another 2022 or another 2008, just we can't handle that. Well, then hopefully we have a protection asset with a good percentage of our assets that is protecting us from that downside. You know, whatever it is that we're worried about that could go wrong, if we have a plan in place to deal with it, we shouldn't have to worry about it.
Second mistake, allowing your emotions or fear even to lead you in your financial decision making, which I know that's part of the process with you, is taking the emotions out. I mean, certainly emotions are understandable. We're human.
That's right. And that's where the strength of having a partner and a financial advisor can oftentimes really pay. You earn your fee back in avoiding mistakes, right? So, of course, we do make money at Robert's Wealth. We do charge to actively manage clients' accounts. But one of the things that you get out of that is making sure that those emotions don't get the best of you, that you don't let fear lead you into selling at the bottom and then moving your dollars to cash where you'll then just suffer to inflation for the coming years. And these are things that I've seen where people have done that. They didn't have the aid of an advisor to help walk them through, you know, the downturn in 2022. And so they made irrational decisions like that, that then led to having considerably less to retire comfortably than what they otherwise should have. And mm-hmm. So we want to avoid those things. And that's mistake number three, I should add, is avoiding things altogether. Just saying, yeah, you know, enough of this planning and market talk and worry about taxes. I don't want any part in it, and I'll just put my money in the bank and draw from it as needed. Well, we've talked about inflation before. It's an unavoidable topic these days, especially if you're like me and you go to the grocery store and you see that the prices have increased yet again. Well, putting that money on the sidelines, you're right. You're avoiding all of the chaos of the market and all that goes with it, but you're still losing at a rate of, you know, 3%, 4%, 5%, 6% a year.
True.
At the moment. And that number is significantly up for debate at this point. So, you know, that is an option, but it's certainly a mistake if you choose that.
Yeah, because whatever you may be, if it's just in a savings account, for instance, whatever you may be getting on that, it's certainly not as much as inflation is now, right?
That's right. And until that shows some sign of changing, people need to be making sure that their dollars are at least working to some extent. And of course, balancing that risk profile as well. And that leads us to mistake number four, letting fear determine your investment strategy. You know, it's a good thing to be conservative and to be cautious in retirement or as you approach retirement. But we have to make sure that we are keeping up with inflation. And we're oftentimes only going to get those kinds of returns by playing in the market a little bit. And we want to make sure that we have some exposure there. Not 100% of our dollars by any means, maybe not even a majority of our dollars. But we do want to have some exposure there to that upside and get the opportunity to make some additional interest when we see that the risk-reward ratio is in line. But the bottom line to all of this is when you have a true plan put in place and it's in writing and you know how you're going to navigate all of these different things, then you should have a lot less to worry about, including the current political climate or what may be the outcome of the election. To feel like you truly have no worries in retirement would be to have a plan that says it doesn't really matter what goes on in the outside world because I've got things taken care of for me and my family moving forward. And that's the kind of peace of mind that we give people when they come in for that first complimentary consultation. You may not have an idea yet if you are set up in a way that you're insulated from the dramas and the negative impacts of the political climate that we live in today. Well, the best way to go about beginning that is going to be to give us a call at 800-891-8680 and begin that process today.
And a comprehensive review that is about you from this fiduciary team at Roberts Wealth Management. Again, 800-891-8680, 800-891-8680, and this review or second opinion. You may be having some second thoughts if you're already retired. It is a great second opinion opportunity as well. No cost, no obligation. 800-891-8680, 800-891-8680. Well, what separates the average American from the top 1%? Well, when we come back, we will explore the dramatic difference between, in many cases, how Americans think the rich get their money versus how they actually earn and spend their money and what we can learn from their success to apply to our financial planning journey. That's coming up with Weston Lindeman and Retire Right Radio. To see how we can maybe mimic some of the habits and strategies of the millionaires in our own financial lives. I know before on this show we've done a segment devoted to looking at the habits and practices of successful CEOs. Now we're going to look at millionaires. And I was actually thinking, I looked this up, Weston. This is Retire Right Radio, by the way, with Weston Lindeman, part of the team of All-Star Advisors at Roberts Wealth Management, robertswealth.com. And it got me thinking, wow, aren't today's billionaires yesterday's millionaires? But still, I looked it up. There are only about 756 billionaires in the U.S., so it's still predominantly millionaires. But a survey titled The National Study of Millionaires, conducted by Ramsey Solutions, explores the millionaire mindset. So today we're discussing how you can learn from the financial success of others and the behaviors that can help you attain the same success in regards to your finances. One is being consistent with investing.
Yeah, I'm glad to see this is number one because although you're right, and you know, maybe it's not billionaires or today's or yesterday's millionaires, you know, it's more like today's 10 millionaires or yesterday's, you know.
1 millionaire.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And the winning formula there, though, is the same, and it is consistent, being consistent with investing. And 75% in this survey, they said that regular, consistent investing over a long period of time, that's the reason for their success. And it's easy to see why. Anytime you doubt this fact, you just go online, pull up one of those compound interest calculators and plug in some very basic numbers there. You know, if you're contributing a portion of your paycheck every 2 weeks or once a month to an investment account and you do that consistently, 10, 20 years go by and you're on the fast track at that point to being a millionaire yourself. And so, of course, that's why 75% say that's the reason for their success.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I've known many millionaires, and the vast majority of them have been quite frugal. Now, you can be too frugal, but the other lesson here is having discipline in spending, being deliberate about spending, and that even comes down to grocery shopping.
That's right. It's like the more money people have, the stingier they get, I guess.
It seems to be.
Yeah, but it is a quality that allows people to accumulate more assets, of course. If you're more likely to spend your money than save it or invest it, then, well, don't be surprised when you have less to invest or that you've had less that you've saved, right? And so that's why 94% of billionaires, they live on less than they make. And that's a foundational aspect to any financial plan, right? If we have more going out than coming in, Well, we know how long that's going to last, and it's going to, you know, rack up some debt, and it's going to make it harder and harder to make ends meet. But if we're doing the opposite, if we have more coming in than we have going out, then that is how we begin to accumulate assets. This is, you know, just the basics of it, but the numbers that underlie this, when you wonder, well, how do some people have millions? This is one of the ways they do it. And so, you know, when you're conscious of your spending, and you have things like, here we see the statistic, 85% rely on a shopping list. Can you imagine you have millions of dollars and you go to the store, and rather than just pick things up off the shelf, you have a list.
Right. It's a good way to do it, though.
Yeah. And something to be said for lists. It's why we're big on a written plan here at Robert's mm-hmm. Wealth. We know the statistics show that if we have our plans written down, if we have our goals written down, the likelihood of having those things realized is much greater than if we just say in our minds, well, yeah, I'm going to have enough money to safely retire, or I think I know about how much money I need per month in retirement to live comfortably. When you have a written plan, it makes things a lot simpler.
And, you know, even some of those millionaires then that you get behind, or some of those people you get behind at the grocery store with a million coupons might be a millionaire. I've never been a coupon user, but I do prefer apps that track your spending at that particular store. And, you know, you can get money back and bonuses, credits, or things like that. They're pretty good to do. Millionaires Absolutely. Have properly diversified income streams. Properly diversified.
That's right. And although 8 out of 10 millionaires did invest in their company's 401k, 3 out of 4 also invested outside of that company plan. And I think that second part there, 3 out of 4 also investing outside of the company plan, that's a pretty big deal. So if we're reliant solely on the strength of our 401k plan to get us to that millionaire mark, then it's going to be, you know, one of either having a company with great benefits, you know, a really high percentage match, or you're just contributing a lot of money over the years, right? Because the truth is, 401k plans, you know, according to the Department of Labor, now I'm quoting you a government study here, they mm-hmm. found that 75% of all 401k plans had fees in them that were in excess of what's legally allowed. And that was in a 2018 study uncovered that. And
wow.
What that means is, whether you know it or not, there are a lot of hidden fees likely buried inside of your 401k plan. And even though no one's ever talked to you about how much that's costing you, you may find a more cost-effective option investing outside of that company plan. And that could mean just a traditional IRA. Maybe it's a Roth IRA. There's a number of investment vehicles out there. The point being, we want to be more like these millionaires, and 3 out of 4 invest outside of company plans.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And by the way, fees that you may not be aware of, that's something else that certainly could be revealed in that comprehensive review that you can schedule with Roberts Wealth Management, 800-891-8680. We're looking at the traits of millionaires and how we should possibly consider adopting those in our financial lives. Here's the next one: understanding that income is the biggest and most valuable wealth building tool.
It's why we make our income planning such a priority in our process. We always begin with that end in mind. How much money do I need and for how long? And then we work backwards from there. And it really is, it's the most valuable wealth building tool that there is. If we have our money in an investment that's not going to meet our income needs, or it's not well suited for us to derive income from, then that's going to be a strategy that might seem good on paper, but then it's not going to, whether it's those dividends that you're seeking or it's some sort of a withdrawal strategy from an investable account, you want to make sure that income is a priority. If we don't have our income needs met, well, we can't really build wealth from there anyway. So there's a lot of different ways to take an approach to this. And I think the one thing that's clear, though, is, again, that if millionaires prioritize this, perhaps so should we.
Right, exactly. And this is kind of tied in with the being a bit frugal, and that is that millionaires, I would be willing to bet, do not like having a lot of debt.
That's right. And nearly 75% of millionaires, according to the Ramsey Solutions survey we're quoting from here, they reported never carrying a credit card balance in their life.
Okay, never in their life. But that's the best way to handle a credit card, right? Pay it off every month.
That's right. You're still getting the advantage of what we talked about earlier with the coupons. You get those cash back rewards or whatever your card offers, right? And I'm sure millionaires, we don't have a statistic on this, but I'm sure they're taking advantage of that with their more, you know, platinum and reserve cards, you know, things that have a higher hurdle to get access to. But with that, they're also not carrying their balance forward each month. And that is a big deal, because anytime we have high interest debt, it's just making it that much more difficult for us to, you know, save, invest, and earn interest. So we want to get out of the mindset of paying interest, and we want to get into the mindset of earning interest. Mm-hmm. I think that's the important thing there.
No doubt about it. And another thing, too, is that millionaires probably realize, and the reason they are millionaires is that they realize that they need to focus on what is making them money and letting a professional handle the putting the money to work for them.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to investing, whether you have a large account balance or a small one, it is certainly a better path forward to work with a professional that can guide you in that process. Of course, as the complexities increase, and a lot of billionaires, of course, being good at earning money, may not have the same knowledge base that made them successful and wealthy to begin with and earning a high income. They may not have that same knowledge base when it comes to the investment world. And so having a partner in your finances is just such an important piece to all of this. And of course, when you look at the number of millionaires who've inherited their money versus haven't, and according to this study, 79% of millionaires did not receive any inheritance at all.
You know, that's interesting you said that, because I was thinking, as probably many listening were, yeah, but they were born with it, you know, right. and some were. But wow, 79%, you're saying.
Yeah, and whether you were born with it or not, needing, you know, having that need for someone to help guide you on the best financial decisions is still, that's a constant for both sides of that, right? If we didn't inherit our money, then we have no perhaps family support to rely on to navigate, you know, taxes and making our contributions to our retirement accounts. Maybe we have to seek advice on these things. And likewise, if we've inherited our money, maybe we've never had to learn anything about it at all.
Right.
And so then it would be important to have
exactly.
someone to work with. So no matter what, I think people are better served working with someone who's experienced in these matters.
And in a wrap up to this segment, what are some of the priorities that we can take from this, millionaire's priorities?
Well, the one thing you want to do is guard your wealth. Once you've accumulated it and you've got it, now keep it. Learn how to distribute it effectively. Let's plan to maybe pass some along to the next generation. Of course, we want to take care of ourselves in retirement, and that's another one of the priorities there, making sure that we're saving for retirement. That was the first thing we looked at in this segment, that consistent investing and contributing to the 401k and also having investments outside of the 401k. That was a consistent theme for millionaires' success. Number three, managing markets when there's that volatility. And we talked about that in the previous segment today. That is something that is best done when you're working with a team, when you have someone who can help mitigate those fears, calm you down in those moments where you say, well, it's down 15%. I'd hate to lose 20, so I'll sell right now. We don't want to do that. And then lastly, making sure, of course, that everything's buttoned up as it relates to the later years of life, our tax strategy late in life, our legacy planning. Are we passing along that $1 million inheritance, or is half of it going to be eaten up by taxes? We want to make sure that we're getting ahead of that and doing all the proper planning in advance. Now, that's what it takes to be a millionaire, according to the study here. But wouldn't it be better if we had a more clear guide, a more clear path for ourselves laid out in order to accomplish these goals and make it safely through retirement? And well, the best way for you to do that is going to be these complimentary consultations that we're always offering. You can claim that for yourself today by calling 800-891-8680.
And, you know, everyone, some may listening can say, well, I don't need to be a millionaire, but these practices could help you have a stronger retirement. without a doubt. And then some things that they'll go over with you. Everyone's different. What works better for you? That's what they mold that plan to, a plan that you can get a glimpse of if you come in for a comprehensive review. Again, that number is 800-891-8680, 800-891-8680. We'll get answers to your questions, and we'll check in with a late-night television favorite, all that and more when we come back on Retire Right Radio with Weston Lindemann. With Retire Right Radio, and Weston Lindemann is part of the team of All-Star Advisors at Roberts Wealth Management. Roberts Wealth, a fiduciary firm with a great team of All-Star Advisors, eager to talk to you, meet you, and talk to you, and give you a look at what your retirement can be. We're going to get to some questions here in a minute. You can get your question to be answered on the show to Roberts Wealth Management at the website, robertswealth.com, where you can also click the podcast tab or the radio tab to hear the podcast, and there are lots there you can choose from. Before we get to questions, let's go to Bill Maher, who is a real-time host, and his podcast is Club Random. His call to action regarding government spending was one that did strike a chord with many, and he actually voiced concerns of his fellow Americans, particularly the middle class, in spending, and how the spending should continue or should not continue at the current rate.
Someone has to explain, if our economy is doing so great, how come everyone is broke? To me, the real lesson is that we found out that quintessential middle-class jobs can't afford to miss one paycheck. I must have seen 100 stories. You miss a payday and you're Ratso Rizzo making coffee in a saucepan? And remember, this is the good economy, where 40% of Americans can't afford a $400 emergency expense, and 50 million have nothing saved for retirement.
Well, you know, he's spot on in regards to things that we've talked about on this show. Many Americans are not prepared for retirement.
That's right. It's a bit of a slap in the face anytime we hear our politicians on TV saying just how amazing the economy is,
right,
and how strong Americans are doing financially. And then we know that many Americans, most even, are struggling, perhaps a lot more than they used to, and that it's just a little bit harder to get by these days, whether because of the, you know, the price increases, the inflation issue, or the fact that wages have been relatively stagnant for a long time. Pick your poison. There are a lot of reasons why Americans aren't feeling so great about the economy. I think what's important here is that we realize that there's a disconnect between the stock market and its performance, what politicians say, and then what we also experience as consumers.
Now, while Maher's political views have no doubt been controversial at times and become a point of contention among many, Maher has been a major advocate for logical and rational conversation over decades. He's spoken frankly regarding many topics important to folks across the country.
We didn't lose the comforts of being middle class all at once. They took it away from us an inch at a time. But here's the thing about squeezing people and keeping them insecure. It virtually ensures that our long-term major problems never get fixed, because reducing the debt or repairing our infrastructure requires long-term thinking, which is something you can't really do when the wolf is always at the door. Bangladesh will be underwater in 20 years. I'm underwater today. Whole Foods? I just want to get some food in my hole. To have people so caught up in today's problems, we never have time for tomorrow's.
I mean, I feel like I'm hearing some amens out there from many.
Yeah, whether you like Bill Maher or you hate his politics, it's undeniable that what he's saying there, I think, rings true with many Americans. And it's something that I see every day. People are concerned about the dollars that we send to foreign countries for various purposes, whether it's war or some other form of aid. And then we have all of these problems here at home that aren't getting dealt with. It's harder for people to make a living for themselves and to enjoy the same sort of middle class lifestyle that existed not too long ago. It's
right.
Still, it's not even a distant memory yet. People can remember when things were just easier.
When households really only needed one to work, if they chose.
Now, that might be a distant memory at
this
point.
Well, maybe 50s. Yeah, I guess 50s is distant now, isn't it?
Depending on who you ask, yeah.
Right. Oh, man, maybe 60s. Wow. Okay, interesting. Well, these are things that, and challenges and concerns that they address at Roberts Wealth Management. 800-891-8680, 800-891-8680. I don't know. I was just thinking Ward and June Cleaver, but that was going back a ways. To get a question in, robertswealth.com. Let's go to Peggy in Pensacola. I have some money in an IRA and 401k, but much of my net worth is tied up in home equity. Now, I plan to downsize in 10 years when I retire. If I still net 400 plus K plus in the bank, would I be counting this as retirement savings? Or when people say they have a million saved for retirement, are they only talking about IRAs, 401k, pensions, etc.?
Well, that's a great question, and it's really a matter of perspective, and there's some, of course, additional context maybe needed here, and that is if we're planning to use those dollars from the sale of the home as part of the retirement plan, then sure, those are counted towards retirement savings. But if we do that, we also need to know that our income plan is going to account for not just rent today, right, if we're not owning our home and we're choosing to rent at this stage of life, but also that there should be a reasonable forecast around that rent number increasing over the years, right? We know that whatever you rent a house for today is not going to be necessarily the same cost 10 years from now. So that could be part of your retirement savings. Of course, oftentimes when people downsize, though, that means that they're planning to buy another home, perhaps at a lower cost. So sure, if you have that $400,000 or more, you know, still in the bank after you purchase your next home and you've downsized, then that is not an uncommon retirement strategy. It's something we've talked about on this show before. People who have to consider maybe moving somewhere else to enjoy retirement because the cost of living where they're at being too high, you know, if you sell $1 million property elsewhere and you move to a place like Pensacola, Florida, you might find a better deal than what you could even possibly imagine in other parts of the country. And so absolutely, that can be part of a retirement plan. But anytime that we're, you know, hinging the success of the plan on equity in a home, we want to make sure that we do so with a conservative mindset, with the most realistic expectations possible. We don't want to overestimate how much we'll sell the house for and underestimate how much we'll have to pay in taxes. You know, we want to make sure that we have the clearest picture possible of what is actually going to be in the bank and therefore, you know, the potential for investable assets that we can then derive our income from.
George is in the Woodlands. How often should you check your retirement accounts? I have an IRA, 401k investments, and hardly ever check the balances. How often do you recommend I check them and why?
It's a matter of personal taste, really. Some people check them more consistently. I find those people tend to seem at least to have higher stress levels. But, you know, at least checking up periodically to see, you know, where are you at? If you know the math already, right, if you're early in the process, if you're mid-career, you're contributing, and you know that, you know, based on the history of the returns of the market, you know, you're expecting 10 or 11% annually over any 10-year period, then really you can do the math on where your account is going to be in the future, you know, with some realistic expectation. You might not have it down to the dollar amount of a prediction of, well, in 20 years I'll have this amount of money, but there's really no point in checking up on it over and over and over again if you're in a passive strategy like an index fund or an ETF where you're just broadly following the market and its trajectory. You know roughly what that number is going to be played out over a 10, 20, 30 year period. So rather than stress yourself out looking at the market when it's down, you could just do the math and know, well, if I keep doing what I'm doing, I know roughly what that number will be 20 or 30 years from now. Now, for people who are closer to retirement and maybe trying to play it a little bit more safe, but also not taking their foot completely off the gas, well, you might want to check on it a little bit more periodically, make sure that, you know, when we see that things are looking more volatile, that we flee to safe assets in our 401k plan. I mean, a lot of 401ks have stable value funds, things like that, that when you're in the financial red zone and sometimes the risk just looks too great to compensate us for, you know, the amount of reward that we're going to get. And so we want to have that, you know, mindset of still staying on top of it, checking in, but also perhaps not worrying so much and letting fear drive us, as we spoke about earlier today.
Again, to get a question in, 800-891-8680. That's a great way to schedule a consultation for yourself, 800-891-8680. You can also schedule at robertswealth.com and get your question in for the show. From Biloxi, it's Peter. Retirement is great, but not exactly what I'd envisioned. I pay all my monthly bills with automatic withdrawals from my brokerage account. I have more than enough money for everything. I just haven't been able to shift from spending only what I need to spend money on to spending more. Any advice?
Yeah, well, I think this is where our income plans really show a lot of value to people, even those who think, well, I have more than enough money for everything, yet you still can't find a way to spend it. That is something that we can help you with. Now, I don't mean I can help you with it in terms of create a list of things for you to spend money on.
Right.
But sometimes, you know, there's a mental block that exists and you may feel like you have enough, but maybe you're not even convinced yourself that you have enough. And so when we draw out that income plan and we show you, here's the next 30 years, here's your investments growing at a safe, you know, very conservative projected rate. And then here's our rate of withdrawal with all those withdrawals coming out. And then we show how, you know, perhaps in your scenario, because of the way the investments are arranged, your principal will be maintained pretty consistently over the years while you're able to make a withdrawal, just living off the interest. And so once you see that, once you lay eyes on that and you know, well, I don't have to spend $5,000 a month, I can spend $10,000 or whatever that number is for you. Once you have that written plan, a lot of times that's when people walk away with that strut that we talk about. Mm-hmm. That's when you realize, hey, not only is everything okay, but I really do have more than enough for everything. That's the kind of position we like to put people in. Now, you could do it yourself and try to create an income plan. I don't know if it's going to give you that same feeling of relief, of those guarantees of knowing that you're all set and your family is too and your legacy afterwards. But if you'd like that and you don't know that you can do that for yourself, then that's where partnering with an advisor comes in. And so working with our all-star team of advisors, it's a simple process that begins with that complimentary consultation, and you can get that going today by calling 800-891-8680.
Love the question from Peter, because it's exactly what you strive to do in your planning process, to give people confidence enough in their retirement to be able to enjoy their retirement, which is exactly what we work so hard to get to. And it sounds like Peter is confident, but just not confident enough, or just that adjustment of spending on what he'd like to spend, on more, on fun things. So certainly could help out to come in and talk, as also with you, anything resonating on the show or did resonate with you on the show today, 800-891-8680. 800-891-8680. Looking at building income in your retirement, looking at true proper diversification, that risk assessment to make sure that you're properly allocated in that regard as well. Even looking proactively in areas of health care, in areas of taxes, and in areas of the possibility of long-term care, given that longevity is now a factor in retirement, it needs to be factored in. 800-891-8680, 800-891-8680, again, 800-891-8680. As always, we appreciate you being with us on the show. We're back with another fresh look at retirement planning with Weston Lindeman next week, same time, for Retire Right Radio.
Roberts Wealth Management is registered as an investment advisor and only conducts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean the advisor has achieved a specific level of skill or ability. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. This program is a paid advertisement sponsored by Roberts Wealth Management. All investment strategies have the potential for profit or loss. Discussion should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell the investments mentioned. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies discussed. Investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. Asset allocation, rebalancing, and diversification do not ensure or guarantee a better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses. References to market results do not represent the performance of Roberts Wealth Management. Historical performance returns for investment indexes and/or categories usually do not deduct transaction and/or custodial charges of an advisory fee, which would decrease the historical performance results. There are no guarantees that a portfolio will match or outperform a specific benchmark. Tax information provided is general in nature and should not be construed as legal or tax advice. Always consult with an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Roberts Wealth Management is not engaged in the practice of law or accounting. Tax and Social Security rules are subject to change at any time. Annuity guarantees are subject to the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company.